He forsook the pleasures of sin for a season. There are pleasures in sin because sin, the pleasures of sin is a mockery against what God has done for us. You know, God has given us marriage, and in marriage, sex, the ability to have sex. But sin exploits it. But marriage, it's still holy. It's in a holy confine. It's right. And it's healthy for couples to have sex that are married because it encourages each one another. But see, when they get in strife, that the hatred of strife causes them to resist one another, and they don't want to bless the other. And that's not right. That's ungodly. But if Satan have no place in their life, he'll do it. And you know, but life is supposed to be better than it. God, see, when God's version of life, you will work as unto God in all things. You seek to be a blessing to people. So your spouse, you want to be edified, and you want your home to be a refuge, a place where you go and enjoy your house, your wife, you know, or the wife, her husband. And talk and have fun and laughter. That's how life is supposed to be. And to enjoy each other. And to enjoy your children. You know, having good relationships and talking to your children. Movie nights, popcorn, the whole thing. You know, Bible studies, games. And then for the couple, they can have sex as long as, you know, they can reward each other. That's how life is supposed to be. But man took it and just have, you know, these crazy kings, they wanted a harem of women and concubine. I don't even know the biblical word for concubine. I'm glad I didn't live back then. You know, there's nothing better than what God did in the first place. See, it was one man and one woman. No confusion. And they can grow together. If they mature, not only mature, sincere people can do this. But if people that are immature and worldly, they can't live like that. They don't even believe it can happen for them. But those that love God, you can, and the ways of God is beautiful. Satan always try to mock the things of God and take the joy out of our lives. That's what, and when people allow whatever it is that happens, but whatever is in your heart, that's what you are, and that's what you will project. So they don't know, they're out there doing going to parties, clubs, or whatever they do. Some people, you know, some lukewarm people are not doing the things that they're not doing worldly fun. They're just miserable, and they cause other people to be miserable. They won't let go of their stripes. They won't forgive others. They think on it all the time, and that's what they project. They don't say, "Well, look, all right, somebody did me wrong." They don't, instead of forgiving them and moving on, they think about it and they let it corrupt their mind. And I can tell you story after story. I've seen it so many different ways. People will, you know, once somebody hurt them, they expect to be hurt. And they project what they expect. But they don't know that they are wretched. They're not bringing anything to the table. They're not prosperous. Even though they have possessions, they're wretched. They're stingy. They don't give. They don't help. They don't comment. They don't have good comments for others. Everything they say is a blame. 90% of their words, you know, is nothing. No life in it. Everybody's out to get them. They're wretched, miserable. They laugh when they see somebody fall. they feel good about themselves when they have something others don't, you know, it miserable. Now, the fun, let's say that they deal with the fun side of sin. If you compare the fun side of sin to the joy of the Lord, they are miserable. I know, I've understood both. Yeah, I was almost 20 years old before I got saved. And the pleasures of sin, I understand those concepts, but and I remember them. When I compare that jump to what the things of God, I hated that I did the things that I did that was not right. Because as a sinner, you know, those things are important to you. Or, you know, people under, you know, in that age group, adolescent to early young adult, they're trying to figure things out, and they don't know how dangerous sin. I didn't know how dangerous it was. I didn't know what sin would do to me. I didn't want to do that, but I didn't want to be a. I didn't want to live a raggedy life, but you know, I was baited just like other people. I understand what the concepts of sin, and I have a comparison. After I learned about the joy of the Lord, I hated what I had done. So when some people don't know, and I understand that, some people are in sin, and it's hard in their heart. They don't know how good it is. Some Christians don't know how good it is to live in God's presence. I asked the Lord to teach me how to live in His presence. So when I asked Him to teach me how to live in His presence, I didn't know how to live in His presence. You know, I kind of focused on the things that was going on around me. But when I, as He drew near to me, as I drew near to Him, He drew near to me. I said, "Oh, this is how it is," and I was very excited. So they don't know that they know it's not that they are wretched, miserable, poor. Just because you have possessions don't mean you're rich. So they are billionaires. If they died on the deathbed and got saved, they'll go to heaven and be with nothing because they didn't do right. I mean, you know, some people got their money the wrong way. You can be rich and poor at the same time. You can have possessions and be poor spiritually. Some of them are going to go to hell. They're not going to even be rewarded for anything. Well, they'll have some rewards for whatever they did right, but they still can't leave hell. I don't know how that's going to work out. But God did say He was going to reward them. But, okay, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Blind. They can't see. That's why I say they don't know their condition. And naked, they have no covenant. They're not in covenant agreement at all because they've corrupted that way through poor teaching. And they got leavened, and then they wouldn't come out of it. Now, at this point, they could have. At this point, the Lord didn't spit them out yet. The reason I say that He spit them out is because He said they won't budge. And that can only mean one thing. God just, He let them have that way. Now, I preach these things in case, so people can avoid being lukewarm. And if a person is lukewarm, they wouldn't know it. But if your life ain't lining up with God's word, draw near to the Lord. Soften your heart and draw near to Him. That's what I would say to anybody that was bent on being lukewarm or allowing sin in their life somewhere. Get it out of your life. Drive it out of your life. There's no reason for it. It's only corrupting everything in your life. And it's causing you to project whatever it is you want to let go. Pet sins. We don't need pet sins. There's no such thing. It's sin or it's not. Then He said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white clothes, that thou may be clothed." Raiment is clothes. I just put the word clothes for raiment. White raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that thine shame and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. This is very important. This is what happens as you draw near to the Lord. Fill your heart with his words. Demons fall off your life when you when your focus is on the word and you receive it and you act on it. Demons can't, there's nothing for their fiery darts to attach. You don't receive it. And fiery darts that's a fiery dart to you, those are things that's a persuasion. But see, the word of God calls you to see it for what it is, and it can't work when you see it for what it is. But when you don't know, then it's a fiery, you know, to you it's a fiery dart. But fiery darts come, that's not your fault. But the word of God helps you to extinguish them. And you'll use your shield of faith and block all Satan's shots and rebuke them before heaven. When you rebuke Satan and win, you do it publicly, even if you're in your house, because heaven is watching what we do. And the angels are listening for your words of faith. And then they act. And I would love to see, I think I would anyway, what happens to demons and fallen angels when we speak the name of Jesus. And we get a chance to see what those angels do to them. But maybe we don't need to see it. I just know it works. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And the logic of a lukewarm mind, I'm learning what it is. I want to avoid it. I don't want to be lukewarm, period. That's why I said I'll do all that's in God's heart. I said I don't want any leaven to be working in me and I don't realize it. But the clue that is not there is the peace and the joy. See, as you follow God, your joy mounts up. It can't do that for a lukewarm person. They have no covenant. They have no agreement with God. They're blind and they're naked. They don't see him, and they don't see what's going on. They don't see everything for what it is. But as you draw near to the Lord, you begin to see everything for what it really is. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. And again, before I say that, I don't know of any people specific. I'm not trying to brush off somebody at all. I don't want anybody to be lukewarm. But I'm saying these things because it's an epidemic condition. And I believe also that if the church was stronger, I don't even believe COVID could have happened. But when the attacks start coming in, it's because of wickedness and the church not doing its job. But people that went, remember, when people are lukewarm, they have no agreement, they have no covenant. But those that do love the Lord, they'll be strong and do exploit. It's not our fault if people backslide and go and become lukewarm. But if it happens, God has a protocol for them. But the real church is going, you know, the Lord's going to, when he gets ready to judge, he's going to move us out of the way. There's no reason for us to be here when he begins the judgment process. And you know, I'm going to say this and cut off, but the judgment begins in the house of God. And in 2012, I remember the Lord telling me that there are things happening in the spirit, and to pray for his people who follow him. He stopped me when I was praying for people that follow him and those that don't. He stopped me and said, only pray for those who follow me. So I believe the judgment process is already done for the church. I believe his return is imminent, just like he just said. So consider these things. I'm out of time. The Lord is not. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.